Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transformed into the extraordinary through the discovery of the metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week as we try to unravel the mysteries of the universe and discover how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation to your life. So let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Journey into the Vortex. Today we're going to journey into the vortex of meditation. And each of us brings to you a different experience, but we also come to the table with the same conclusion of how imperative and important it is to have some type of meditative practice in your life.
Well, it's not just important. It's
imperative.
Imperative. My motto is meditate or die, period.
Meditate or die. That's a t-shirt, Marcella. I love that.
Right. No, really. I mean,
You're asleep. You're totally asleep through going through life if you are not meditating.
Yes. So even this today when we gathered to do our podcast, we've done it several times, but oftentimes we just start chatting and get going, and our energies today
was to lose the momentum,
we were very
so we
scattered, right? We were like talking about all these different things, and then how did we center? We said, I think we should take 5 minutes and meditate. So the cool thing is what we started the podcast with. Marcella has this amazing crystal bowl.
Oh, crystal bowl.
And so one of the ways to begin a meditation is through sound vibration.
Crystal has this vibration that is very harmonizing for the body, the mind. It certainly gives you a good...
Oh, if you could feel what we're feeling right now after sitting in that...
Yes. I like bowls a lot. I also like tuning forks.
Nice.
Right.
Solfeggio tones are awesome too.
Can you explain what a solfeggio?
Yes, well, that would be a whole title for a podcast, but pretty much solfeggio frequencies were supposed to be the original frequencies of sound. When the music, the scale, and I'm not a musician, so I'm not that familiar with the terminology. Are you a musician, Mary? No. So when we have the scale of music, it's supposed to have this octaves. Am I pronouncing it right?
Octaves.
Yes. And then what I know is that they modified this, the music scale, so that it is not as harmonic, because what they were noticing, like the Gregorian chants, were bringing people, were making people wake up, because it's so the harmony that it brings to the body and the mind is like it has an effect of wonder, of question, and it gets you there when your higher self can really talk to you. And of course, this is what I've read, but it makes so much sense, right? So they decided, the religious authorities decided to that this was not good for the masses, for the people, right? So they would change, and then the music scale, it's different now. And so now all the music is not really, and some people, they say, are tuning their instruments back to the solfeggio.
Interesting.
To have this effect.
If you notice, like I oftentimes will go to YouTube and just put in a meditation, a guided meditation, and usually if you do that, there will always have like a frequency.
Yeah. Sound in meditation is just so
there's sound,
helpful.
There's breath.
Mm-hmm.
Breath, I usually feel like I'm also doing my breathing concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly just find a guided meditation that brings you...
It just depends, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I just want to have answers for something, I try to do just like TM, like not think about anything.
Yeah, just more sound.
So
only.
Just to give... open up to the higher self and get some inspiration. Or sometimes I I like to listen to those tones, like 528, it's so relaxing. Or breath work, I like Niraj Naik. I don't know if you guys have heard about him. He does Soma breath. He's awesome. And he does exercises with breath retention. But that's more for health reasons, I think. But he also does this, has this, like, you're supposed to breathe. Well, the idea is that you breathe as few times as possible, to the point that you can just have one breath per minute.
Right. Oh, just so slow.
And he has this music that guides you into that. That's kind of hard. I don't know that I can do that. But there are some that are like 2-3 breaths per minute that are so relaxing. I mean, it just really feels, if you're measuring your HRV or you have some way to measure it, it's just amazing how you really, really relax with the breath.
So as we all three agree that meditation is imperative, what's the purpose of meditation? Why do we meditate? Why do we think everybody should meditate?
Well, meditation shuts down it stops the chatter.
The chatter.
It takes you into a different state of consciousness where I believe you can really connect with your higher self and receive, like Abraham Hicks says, that's the time when you receive the information, the ideas, the inspiration, the whatever, right, that comes from higher state of consciousness.
Meditation for me clears the cluttered mind and opens the channel that you're speaking of to the higher self. You know, if I'm watching TV or got chaos going on, whatever the case may be, which we all do in our households at time. I don't have that free channel, you know what I mean?
I often wonder if back in the day before there was, you know, when they didn't have the distractions of TV or phones. I mean, I'm talking way back. So they had silence and quiet. And think of all the creation that happened and the books that were written. I think it's impossible to get to a creative state of being with all the clutter, with all the...
I don't know how anybody can just go day after day without going into a different state of consciousness. Well, sleep helps, right? Like Abraham Hicks also says, you know, sleep is the way that a lot of humans, is the only way that they have to really rest their minds and reset a little bit. But it can only take you so much because you can't really be, you're not conscious during your sleep. And so you're not really accessing that it's a different state of consciousness. Mm-hmm.
So that's something to discuss, is the different states of consciousness. So there's like theta state or...
Which sleep is, I think, delta.
Delta, right? Yeah. Theta.
Yeah, but the gamma is supposed to be the one where the creative genius is the most, in charge. They measure those brain waves, and it's interesting. But alpha, I guess, any simple meditation will take you to alpha. Mm-hmm. And that's when you really are open to your...
Is that the state you're in when you're just starting to wake up? That's the most receptive for me.
I would agree with me too. I love to just...
30 to 45 minutes before I have to get up. Because I'll click the alarm, maybe I'll go to the bathroom, whatever I got to do, and then go back and just sink into my bed and relax and then just start chatting with my higher self, with whatever. What is it? What is it that I need to
do? Do you stay in bed when you meditate? That's interesting.
No, just in the morning.
I do that also.
Yeah, like sometimes I'm
like you said, that alpha state where I feel like a lot of my ideas and things will come to me in that those early morning.
Right.
Not dreams necessarily, but that where you're kind of in that mid-consciousness.
Very receptive.
I actually had a shaman one time tell me that many of your ideas come to you in early morning dreams.
Right.
I think we should have a practice. Every human should have a practice where you can access those at will, whenever you want. You should be able to, with using the tool of the breath, take you to that state of relaxation. Prentice and Mulford, this mystic that you probably heard me talk about, he says that we should throughout our day have moments of what's called abstraction, mental contemplation. And the whole point, and also Neville Goddard, I never pronounce his name right, but he's also like, when you feel like you have too many thoughts or you're just going, you know, at a frequency that is being like uncomfortable or tiresome or just not, it's too much of you know, brain activity or human activity, right? Quiet the body, because if you quiet the body, the mind start quieting and to start narrowing your focus as much as you can. Even if it's just one thing, if you direct your force and practice, Mulford says, practice directing your force to one thing at a time. Like you're tying your shoes, he says, practice doing just that in that moment. And those 5 seconds that you have spent when you're tying your shoe, just thinking about that, are going to give you all this force and all this, you know, it's just going to expand your mind in a way that you're going to see your functioning during thinking hours so much more, so much brighter and effective. And it's interesting. And also, he says, if you can't do that, says, at least try that the movements of your movements not be so abrupt, so like fast. If you start consciously
being intentional,
moving, yes, when you are moving, if you are paying attention to your movements, that's also training your brain to work, to stay in that frequency, in that, instead of going into beta, right? You need beta for certain things, but most of the time, when you don't need it, you should try to be an alpha, because that's what's going to help you the most, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way.
Well, and I think with that, what he's saying is it's being in that present moment and being intentional in your present moment. And if you think about our scattered minds, like when we go into fear or we go into regret or any of these, it's the what if, you're worrying about the future or regretting something in the past. And if you could bring all of that and be in that present moment.
And that also trains your mind to catch you to not go there, not
right.
even go there, because sometimes the untrained mind just goes into the past, and before you notice, you've been thinking of that for like 5 minutes already,
right?
Drain your energy and not doing anything helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you train your mind, you instantly, like in a split second, let go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of like discipline your mind, I think. And I think that's a very important practice. It's associated with meditation, but it's also another way to be watchful and mindful.
I think what you're saying too, or what he said, I feel like with you, Mary, an ideal morning is if I could be in that alpha state
mm-hmm.
before I have to jump out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then do an intentional meditation at some mm-hmm. point in the morning also, where I feel like that is setting my energy for the day. But what he's saying is we should
throughout your day.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's where I think I could improve, is taking time in other parts of the day, because I know myself. That's why I'm so conscious of my mornings, because once I get mm-hmm. going,
right,
I don't stop. And so,
but he also says about that, when once you get going, he says a lot of our forces, and when he talks about our forces, he talks about our physical, mental force, and spiritual forces too, are wasted, because if your mind is somewhere else, if you're in the shower and your mind is already thinking where the meeting you're going to be going to, or what you're going to be doing, you are wasting force. Every time that your mind and your body are not in the same place, you're wasting force, and it's worthless, he says, because there's nothing you can do with thinking ahead and just where your body is. So what would be really useful, he says, is to be in that moment in the shower and practice, like train your mind not to get ahead, because it's human. I mean, it's very common, right, that our minds just want to
mm-hmm. right. And I think that's where a lot of people's anxiety stems from, and you're worrying about the what ifs or the things we can't control, right?
And then another side of meditation, teachers like Goddard or Emmett Fox, they talk about contemplation, how important it is to contemplate. During your meditation, when you contemplate something, you absorb the elements of it. Like if you're thinking about wisdom, or you're thinking about perfection, one of the meditations that he has is like, think about the perfection of your higher self, how perfect it is, how, and just thinking about that perfection raises your vibration, and you are already taking in those elements of perfection, or health, or whatever you want to, if you're like courage, or whatever you want to develop in yourself. If you contemplate, that's the way that you acquire those traits. It's very interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense. And unfortunately, I can only say I've experienced it in the opposite, right? When I've allowed distraction to come, or drama to come into my space early in the morning. You know that feeling. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've gotten a phone call or something in the morning, and it's just plummeted you into this spiraling energy that you don't want to be in. But there you are.
But that's why it's important to train the mind, because you catch yourself right away. I mean, discipline, yeah. It is so important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially once you know what you know, right? You
right.
just have to be watchful and vigilant and disciplined and train your mind. And I think meditation is, that's why it's so important.
I've often used, I can think of several examples in my life where when I have gone to like an afternoon meditation, it is because I recognize if I'm in a situation, or I need a resolution of some sort, or something's not settled, something, you know, and the only way
to reset.
And usually the answer comes, what, you know.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's,
I think once you experience it,
yes, you have to experience it. And I think
you will not, like I said, mm-hmm. you would not let a day go without dedicating some time.
Right. And it doesn't have to be an hour. I mean, it's whatever you can give yourself. I think it's one of the biggest forms of self-care, because we also know we're responsible for our energy and how you bring that to everybody else as well.
Well, now that a lot of people wear smart watches, you know, you can tell, you know, when your stress level, I don't know, watches measure it differently, but your HRV is the one, like heart coherence or heart math, yeah. And then you can tell when it's, how meditation really takes you there, like mm-hmm. very quickly, and how good it feels, and how good it feels afterwards, because now you go back into your normal thing, and you feel like you are, I don't know, just clearer and more efficient and just more peaceful.
Why don't they teach our children this? Or we should teach it. We teach our children. But because it's almost like in the United States, like learning a second language, they don't start it until high school. Mm-hmm. But imagine if they started, same with meditation, oftentimes it's started as an adult. You know, I didn't begin learning about meditation. It was probably in my 30s, you know.
When I was growing up, meditation was something seen as from the East, and we're the West, and we don't pray that way.
Oh, really?
Or yeah, it's conflicting uh-huh. with prayer,
yes.
right?
Like, very much so. That's how it was presented to me.
Right.
I remember my mom was told me, because I was introduced to meditation very young. Like, I think I was 12 mm-hmm. when I was doing it. I started with mantra yoga. Mm-hmm. They give you a mantra, you just repeat that for 30 minutes. But it felt so good that I loved it. And then I started really wanting to know more about meditation. My mom would tell, I have a cousin who got into meditation. She lost her mind. She ended up in a mental hospital.
Yeah, it's those kind of stories that I would get too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was funny that, of course, I didn't believe her, right? So,
whatever, probably your
right?
cousin had a lot of clarity that
people thought
she was crazy because she was speaking of truths.
Yeah, one time she said that her other cousin went to see a psychic, and then after that, every time she would drive home, she felt someone in the back of the car. And so, well, that'd be kind of cool.
I know. mm-hmm.
There was a professor at the University of Texas in Austin. He was on break. He went to his office and he meditated. And he was found unconscious. He had died. I don't even know if it was even
he clearly ascended.
Because I was a kid at the time. But I mean, my parents, they just drove that one in at dinner. how this was dangerous. And then I think he was, they found him in some kind of yoga position or something, and just on and on and on about how dangerous it is to...
You know, you wonder how many of those stories are in the minds of people that they just don't bring them up because this is an unusual conversation, right? But I wonder how many of those stories are in the minds of people, and so that's why meditation is that, because really, I mean, mindfulness did a great job of bringing like a Western version of meditation, right?
Right.
Western, but at least it was meditation. But other than that, you would think that this would be something like working out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, like, okay, everybody's got anxiety. Everybody has... Okay, what would be the number one thing you would prescribe?
Assumption.
Meditation, mm-hmm. You know, like start...
And there's a lot of science to it, like
yes.
The brain waves and the heart rate.
Like you said, it calms your... Yes.
And all these hormones that, you know, of well-being, the dopamine, and all these things that are just like so...
Mm.
So what, you know...
Well, we all know, like, again, the amount of buildup of stress that people go through, right? If you are not doing the meditation or the reset, I would like to call it, if it would just grow and grow and continue...
And you take a pill so that you imagine?
Yes.
And it's like...
I don't know.
I don't know what the science behind taking, you know, pills for depression or any of that stuff is, but I would think all it does is just it blocks the signals or the production of some
right.
hormone. But where is that going? Because the cause is still there. So that
right.
has to be
it's
going
a numbing.
Somewhere.
It's just...
Yeah. It could mm-hmm. be going, you know, manifest in a physical, like in your health or...
Right. And at the time, so this was early 90s for me, and I'm on some antidepressant. And at the
time... Oh, you tried them?
Oh, yeah.
So...
And they told me that the responsible thing to do while you're on this is to be taking behavioral modification counseling. So I was doing the whole nine yards. But how can you modify behavior if you go in and you talk to this counselor and you tell them about the drama and the trauma over and over and over again? It didn't make sense. And I remember when I made the decision to stop all of it. And I remember saying to myself, how is that helping? All this does is numb me so I don't feel anything. And... I'm so tired of talking about my own shit. I don't even
So they have you talk about
even,
the problem.
Yes.
Interesting. So tell us, I'm just curious now that you said, because I've never taken any antidepressants or anything like that, but I know a lot of people do. How does it feel? What do you, does it work? Does it make you like happy? Or does it release like endorphins or?
Nothing like that.
No happy pill?
What it did for me, it did give me a break.
A break of what? Like
from feeling the helplessness, the hopelessness, why bother? What's the point? So that helped. And but I'm telling you, you know, I went through, I did everything they told me to do because I really, really wanted to get well. And what made me well was realizing they're going to only fuck me up further. And to this day, even though I'm not on the drugs, what it did was it increased my OCD in that I count. Like, see your bookshelf, I'm going to count every single book.
Really?
So you think that was a side effect of the medicine back then?
I know it is.
Because
it altered.
Because it altered. Yeah.
It is... When I read the side effects
imagine
of it.
Imagine kids being put on that.
Oh, my gosh.
That is so...
Right.
Well, that's not...
But that's when I realized. So I made the decision... Well, I tried to call my psychiatrist, but Bubba did not call me back for like 2 weeks. So I made the decision. You know how they tell you don't...
Don't go cold turkey.
Yeah.
Don't...
Flush them down the toilet. At the time, I didn't know that was... Not the thing to do. And so I just sat down and I thought, what's going to give me some worth? I just kept, you know, praying in my old way. Please,
you
God,
still
please
didn't
tell
know
me.
Any better. You still know about meditation
in
or
the 80s, early 90s. No, I did not.
So that was when, because you talk about your nervous breakdown.
Right.
That was before or
that
during?
That was in 92. Yeah. And I think that I went through the nine yards. I spent a stint in the loony bin. I took their pills. I did everything. I went to their outpatient, every single outpatient meeting, saw my shrink, saw my counselor, yada, yada, yada. And I never got better.
So can I say that game, I'll say, is they have you searching for an outside answer, whether it's through counselors or, you know, looking for an answer outside of yourself.
Right.
Where the answer truly is within yourself or your higher self. And really the only way to get there is meditation.
I just want to say I was very robotic. But
so I'm curious, when was the first time that you experienced meditation and how did it feel?
Yeah, so all that, nobody ever talked to you about meditation.
No. No, but if you remember my story, y'all, so when I graduated, this counselor comes and tells me, oh, you've done everything. They're having their little party.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the books.
Okay, that's when she told me to go get Course in Miracles and Love is Letting Go of Fear. I don't remember them speaking about meditation. And
the day they were dismissing you because they wouldn't pay.
My HMO had run out. It wasn't going to pay one more dime.
I can't help you anymore, but here's a book.
Wow.
Well, she get, remember?
Yeah.
Heather, I said to her, you haven't done a damn thing for me. I am one step away from another nervous breakdown if anything goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I didn't even.
And that's what she wrote those.
Mm-hmm. What I was saying to her.
Why didn't they mention the first
time? Why didn't she? I said to her, well, my goodness,
well, you are
getting somewhere in the last
five.
Yeah. Oh, you bet. 2 weeks later, I picked up the phone to call her to tell her she saved my life. And she wasn't there. They told me that she quit.
Oh.
I like to think that she was a person of a lot of integrity and was like, I'm finding a gig where I can really help
make
people.
Make a difference, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So wow. I was, you know, I didn't have the wherewithal to send her good frequencies, but I know she had to feel that joy through the quantum field, how much she had changed my life. Yeah.
Wow.
So she tried
Course in Miracles was the way you got interested in meditation, or Love is letting go of Fear?
Well,
or was it Unity?
Remember 2 years before that?
You had gone to this Unity.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I told the Lord, no way. I was going to get married in the Catholic Church, raise my stepkids and my daughter in the Catholic Church. I mean, you know, or any babies that I would have. And the universe is just laughing and going, okay.
All right,
and
yeah.
I never did that. And then 2 years later, I have a nervous breakdown. And what happens to me? The universe sets me back on the right trail and says, oh, yeah, you're going. So I got the book, but I would read it in mass. Or I would read it, you know. I wasn't letting go of any of my, you know, programming.
So, Mary, there's some people that have to learn things the hard way. Would that be you?
That was
me. Yes, yes, in your past
life.
Yes,
is the operative word.
So you do guided meditations now, like you and your groups. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some of our listeners have never experienced meditation, and maybe we can do like a quick 5-minute experience, or we can do like some sound, and then.
So, dear listener, if this is your first time with the sound, this is a beautiful crystal bowl, and Marcella is using what do you call the stick that you're using? Is that what it is? And she's going, rotating around and around and around on the rim of this crystal bowl, and it's making this beautiful tone. And
I don't know how much the sound will travel through like a recording, but we can try.
Right. And so as you go into this state, just go with it. You want to try the humming?
This is a me, solfeggio frequency. Okay, so, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. So,
I'm just preparing you. So as she plays this, and we're going to let it just unwind slowly, go with the sound and feel the vibration of it all. And then I'll come in to lead a meditation.
Okay, ready? Mm-hmm.
Beloveds, I want you to take a deep, deep breath. Fill your lungs to full capacity and hold it. And just let it slowly out. And as you fill the second breath, inhale through your nose. And exhale through your mouth. I want you to imagine you're walking through a meadow. Now, this meadow is yours to design and create. Mine is full of blue bonnets, up to my knees. As far as I can see, what kind of flowers are you creating? And I'm walking towards this beautiful wild oak tree because there's this beautiful swing hanging from the branches. So take a moment and imagine walking through your meadow towards your tree. I'm noticing the beautiful fragrance of the flowers. And the gentle, wispy feeling as the wind blows into my hair all over the place. And as I arrive at the tree, I make my way towards the swing hanging from it. And I start swinging. Very gently, back and forth. Close your eyes and just feel the gentle rocking of the swing. Take a deep breath and once again acknowledge the wonderful fragrance of the flowers. In a moment, we're going to open our eyes to one of our spirit guides. Go ahead and open your eyes now. Is your beloved guide female, male, angelic? Notice the wonderful love, the unconditional love, the overpowering love. Take note how you feel about it. Do you feel cozy? Is it a little intense for you? take this opportunity to ask your beloved guide any question you want answered. Now accept this answer. Is there any other questions you need to ask for clarity? Once again, look at your beloved guide. And feel this love, feel this guidance. Notice this feeling, this trusting, this bond that you have with this beloved. And now, just take your attention back to swinging on the swing and feeling your environment, feeling the breeze. Hearing the birds. And at this point, rise up out of the swing, walk back through the meadow, look back at the tree, and know this wonderful, happy, cozy spot is there for you to visit anytime you want. Anytime you need some quiet, tranquility, connection, answers, it's right here for you to return to. Now turn back and keep walking. And see yourself returning back into the room. And as you open your eyes, notice the room. Notice the air conditioning or maybe the heater, the smells of the room, the chair that you're sitting in. Just come back into the room. And welcome back. So nice. I cannot remember what Stephanie did, but it was so miraculous to me.
Oh, that was the
It was very similar. Yeah, she did a bench and something like that. But yeah, and I got to do my own meadow, my own tree, and I can't even recall my question, but I can report to you that I got a great I got guidance. I do not remember.
So you do that often, or is it just another time? Because I did ask a question, but I felt like I was...
You might have needed to sit with it a little longer.
Yes.
Like, I think this was a 5-minute meditation.
Right.
If you were doing
it.
For me, I probably don't do that as often for myself as I used to, because with practice, I can get into the state pretty fast now. It just depends on the beloveds that are in my groups, you know, what I'm going to choose to do. Like the Lightworkers group is visiting Melchizedek. It's sacred geometry right now. So they're more
advanced.
Yeah. Already. Mm-hmm. And so
But also, I think that even if you don't get the answer in that moment, it's, I mean, you open the doorway, and I am a firm believer. Absolutely. It doesn't have to come in that moment. Just allowing that time, it can come whenever you least expect.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Oh, and it does.
And then you know that it is, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Never thought that that was a possibility till, you know, what is this?
Till you experienced
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. So what I found in my practice, because I'm sitting here and I'm telling you in, what, 20 minutes about this? I want you to know this process took a while for me. Not that it has to be that way for you, but I'm calling on a lot of patience and a lot of perseverance and a lot of practice on your part. The more you commit to this, the more it's going to work and unfold the miracles.
And baby steps sometimes, like even if you can only quiet your mind for like 30 seconds,
right.
10 seconds, right? It's a start, but the mind starts responding and you'll notice that you can, you'll be able to stay there for as long as you want if you continue to really, you know, practice and, right. and be patient with yourself. And even those 10 seconds can be significant.
Yes.
Significant.
So really try to, again, it's like brushing your teeth. Just try to find a moment, whether it's 10 seconds or 30 minutes, whatever you have. And there's no wrong way to do it. It's just setting the intention of doing it. So, of doing meditation. And it'll be the best gift you can give yourself, I promise.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you for guiding on this meditation, Mary. And we hope that you decide to try and explore different ways. We can bring this back, this topic again, and talk about the different, you know,
types.
Modalities. And so there's so much to say about meditation.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, Mary.
My pleasure.
Until next time, when we journey into the vortex.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.